Okay, we'll meditate. Please watch your breath. Please ask your Lama, Heart Lama, to come and sit with you. I like to feel the warmth of their body in front of me, feel, smell the fragrance of their skin, see their eyes blink, see their chest moving up and down with the breath. See the love in their eyes for you. think of one of their qualities that you would like to have and honor them by thinking of that quality. And make them an offering, something good you've done this week. Maybe we can offer the whole week's effort. It was not easy. It's not your home. You're staying with other people. Maybe you couldn't sleep as well as usual. You didn't have all the things that you usually have around you. Offer them your hard work this week, and you did good work. Your meditation's good. Purify any negative deeds this week. When we're working this hard, some negative things come up, and purify them. Then think of the joy you've had here, the good times, the beautiful times, the good times in meditation, the beauty of the fire, the fellowship you felt with the other people here. Rejoice in the beauty of your time here. think of how you'd like to be tomorrow. When you're back in your regular life, what would you like to keep with you from this week that's different? And ask your teacher to help you stay close to you, whether it's someone you already know or someone you will come to know. And ask them for help, guidance in the next coming weeks. You can come back to your breath. Please separate off a part of your mind to the back. Begin to watch the main mind, think its thoughts. Please try to block any future thoughts. It's very difficult on the last day of a program not to think about the airplane and being home and things you have to do next week. See, if you can do it today, you can really do it anytime. You can stop future thoughts. Be here until you're not here. and block any thoughts of the past. And try to settle in and relax and be quiet here in this present moment. And please pass the hand of your mind over the area behind your heart, in front of your spine, and see if you can find chakra. When you find it, try to hold your mind on it. And go into the chakra. What I'd like you to try this morning is picture small piece of, it looks like liquid glass, or you could say less descriptive is mercury, quicksilver, and silver. But this liquid glass, this spot of liquid glass, I would like you to make it as small as possible. So when you first think of it, it's maybe as large as a golf ball or a marble. And then I'd like you to shrink it smaller and smaller and smaller to the size of a grain of sand. And then split that in half. Very powerful, tiny grain of life, so the life inside of you and in cannot be extinguished. It's the source of your life. Focus the mind on the smallest grain of powerful life you can imagine in your heart. When you get it in your mind, then split it in half and make it smaller. Then imagine it's the same grain of life which is in your teacher's heart. They are one grain of life. Please come back to your breath. Ask your teacher to come into your heart. Then you can relax, open your eyes, stretch. Okay, W Gyagore. Say W Gyagore. We have to do a horse race. They call a horse race when a mama is running out of time. And they start, like His Holiness does the 8 verses, and he does 1 in the first 3 days, and then and he does a W. Okay. So here we go. Jay Kelsang Tenzin Diye Kuche Chungwa Yinbe Dr. Lading Ritu Du Shukpa. So there was a younger brother of the Lama we talked about last. His name is Jay Kelsang Tenzin. Then he wanted his older brother to come to the older brother, one of the Lamas that we were talking about, who got embarrassed because he, by the old man, because he offered to explain to the old man the Lama Rim that he got the transmission for. So he wanted to invite his brother to his hermitage. But the older brother wasn't able to come. Were sick. So the older brother, who's the one who got the transmission from the old monk, okay? He decided to freak out his little brother, which is very unusual. And in his meditation, he went to the younger brother's retreat cabin, okay? Pepperne, then Tenchi Kyosan Tenzin. Then when they met later on, he said, I came to your retreat cabin in my meditation, and I looked around at the whole thing. Then he started to describe the meditation cabin to his little brother, and even down to the shape and branches of the juniper trees around the cabin. Kyoki kapik nangdu kapo chambo shi gutsam chepa shi do. But he said, I had a problem. There was some, in the middle of the cabin from the outside, I could see some kind of white, something white moving here and there, you know, like this. And I was wondering what it is, you know. Could you tell me what it is? And then the younger brother said, oh, that was the, I had a curtain that used to really bug me, because the wind would catch in, and then I was trying to meditate, and the curtain would fly back and forth. So it means the older brother really saw the retreat coming. That person gave it to his younger brother, Kelsang Tenzin. He was a very highly realized person. So when he would give teachings on the Lam Rim, we're still in the southern lineage, okay? from the sides of his eyes would come light rays, white light rays, and they would play with the people in the audience. Okay. And what's dulma? Tara, okay? So trul without the S, trul, means to be liberated, trul. But it came to mean to let out class. When the class is let out, you say, zinda trudwe, is the class liberated? It means, have the monks come out of class yet? When it was time, Rembana means when it's time. When it was time for the class to let out, then the light rays would come back to his eyes. Okay. Gacha nawa dang lingo de pepa so dunyam du chungwe. Then he would be giving his teaching in the monastery in his room. Most teachers teach in their bedroom, and they sit on their bed, and the students sit on the ground. So he would be teaching in his bedroom, and then he would also show up, you know, like half a mile away at some circumambulation place. Because the older monks, to get exercise, they walk around the monastery, the outside of the monastery, like that. It's like a half-mile walk or something. Depends on how big your monastery is. Dunyam de chume jami lotsar de gyur. So some people would leave the class and then go bump into him on the during his circumambulations, and they freaked out. Okay. Lachet sokshin yong zoki shel sik. He was fortunate enough to be able to have direct encounters in his meditation with the La Che Tsokshing. What's that? The Tsokshing means that all the teachers who have passed it down. La Che? I'll say the whole word, Lama Chipa. Okay. All right, so we're going to do Lama Chipa this afternoon. And it's a very, very high, practice, making offerings to. When you do it, you have to think of your own teacher, okay? I mean, they're going to go through all this stuff, and then you offer the sky covered with flowers, and you have to really, you know, what do you call it? Make it cool and, you know, how do you say, be lavish in your offering, you know? Like, okay, I offer the Milky Way and every star covered with flowers or something like that, okay? You have to, like, think big, okay? So he had direct contact with all those lamas who have taught the Lama Chepa through the years. Lama Chepa was written by first Panchen Lama. So it's about 350 years old, something like that. 300 years old, okay. Sheikh Du Utu Layang Je Lama Chepa Rangjun Chungwa. When he passed away, and his flesh had, you know, somebody opened up his tomb later on, and they found his skull. And on his skull was etched the main figure of the Lama Chipa. We call Rangjun. Rangjun means spontaneous, came out spontaneously. So sometimes you see it on a pine tree or something, there'll be a Rangjun of your teacher's face or the name. The first letter of your teacher's name, or that's called Rangjun. Sometimes they get kind of stretched. You know, somebody will say, I found a Rangjun, and you're like, well, let's go see, you know. And then he says, look at that rock, you know, and you're like, it looks just like our teacher's nose, you know. And you're like, I don't know, man. Anyway, he had a real Rangjun on his skull. Dada Yang Hading Ritu Dushu. You can still see that skull, okay? At the hermitage called Lading. All that stuff was destroyed in the Cultural Revolution. It's all gone. All those beautiful things are gone. They were all smashed and burned and destroyed. And there was a huge orgy of destruction, and everything was destroyed. The great printing, the great monasteries that housed all the wood blocks, and everything was just flattened to the last brick. They dynamited carefully everything. It was all just flattened. There's just rubble now. There's nothing left. You know, all of these beautiful things. Okay. Lotsagyam. Dey Drupang Kelsang Kedub Lanang. He gave the teaching to Kelsang Drupang Kelsang Kedub. Diyang Korlo Dombe Gone Drupa Nyepa Shiyin. This was also another Lama who had practiced Chakrasambhara and reached high realizations. They're always talking about Vajrayogini, right? When they say, they keep repeating Chakrasambhara, but they're talking about Vajrayogini as the 51st chapter of the Chakrasambhara Tantra. And my teacher learned it from him. Okay, so he wants you to know that he has an authentic lineage. And he's tracing back every single lama back to the beginning of the lineage. Later you can learn to do that, okay? You can impress people at cocktail parties and stuff. You can say, then you can count the 42 lamas back. You know, like, I have a lineage. I saw a cartoon in the New Yorker one night. I don't know, it was like, some guy's at a cocktail party with this cute girl, and she's like, no, I don't really want to know your secret mantra. All right. Okay. I tried that. It didn't work. Okay. So now I have given you a brief account of the southern lineage. Okay, that's Pabonka. We're almost out of the lineages, okay? But we'll be gone by the time we get. Okay. Gyabra Namdaki Yikchastur to Yupale Kimba Zega. If you want to know more details, you can look into the what do they call it? Lagyu. It's called Lagyu. Lagyu means a whole genre of literature devoted to tracing back lineages. And there are hundreds of those books. Pabokumche was very careful to document all his lagyus. Okay, we're on to the central lineage. Right? Central Tibet. Shelung Ugyuni. Central lineage of which text? The great fifth Dalai Lama's word of gentle voice. Jambel Shelung, okay? Shelung Ugyuni, Kunsing Lapa Chimba, Chichen Jimba Gyatso Latsa. The great fifth Dalai Lama granted it to Jimba Gyatso. Dene Rimgyune, Chichen Gyune, Harap, sorry, Losan Hundupki Tungne. Then he skips the whole lineage. He's like, okay, and then it came down to Losan Hundup. And then Jay Losan Jimba heard it from him. And then he just stops. And then, you know, you're supposed to understand that that's the lineage. If you want to see the whole lineage, you can check his. It's in the ACIP database. Okay. Nyurlam Marti. So now he's going to talk a little bit about the lineage of Nyurlam Marti. Nyurlam Marti is very, very beautiful. I think it was the first Lamrim that I studied. Nyurlam means quick path. Marti means, it's a beautiful word. We explained it before. Mar means crimson. Chi means instruction. And what it means is the Lama goes very carefully through the Lamrim as though he were a physician teaching student physicians by stripping the skin off of a corpse and showing this is the spleen, this is the liver, look how clean it is. Oh, kidney. You know, and then he goes through all the organs and say, this is that, and this is that. So it's considered a more personal and direct transmission of the Lamrim. And that's called a dissection presentation of the Lamrim. Okay. Marti. Kunsik Panchen Losan Yeshin Nekatsum Drubne. So that was composed by the second Panchen Lama, His Holiness the second Panchen Lama, Losan Yeshe. He lived 1663 to 1737. Katsum Drubne, he completed the text. Then something strange happened. Okay, you ready? Ti Gyun Shu Ken Ma Chung. Okay? Ti Gyun Shu Ken Ma Chung. Ti means instruction. Gyun means the stream of the lineage. Shu means to request. Ken means person who does something. Shu Ken means requester. Machum. Nobody asked him. Okay, wait. Then there, wait. There's a very famous incident in Lord Buddha's life, okay? And it's called the Great Mistake, okay? In scripture, it's called the Great Mistake. So the Lord Buddha's direct disciples didn't ask him to stay. You know, they just forgot. You know, they took him for granted, something like that. And they didn't ask him to stay. And then he passed away, okay? And so nobody thought to ask him for the transmission. You know, they just figured, oh, he's going to be around, you know. Kundre, then he got older. Chengi Misipar, then his eyes got bad. Lungshok Debreni, then when he had to give a, what do you call it? He had to give an oral transmission of something. Somebody had to go write. They didn't have Xerox machines, okay? Somebody would go and get a huge piece of paper and write it in big letters like that, you know. That's why the congers are so big, okay? Because people didn't have eyeglasses. There was no such thing as eyeglasses. So they just carved them really big so anybody could read them, okay? So they would write out, you know, in huge letters, and he would be like, yeah. Then Yigeshin Duchenpo Chediki Bugapa. Drupcho Losan Namgyal. Then this yogi named Losan Namgyal. He was in retreat, and he was studying that Lamrim, and he was practicing that Lamrim. And then he suddenly had this, what do you call, meditative experience that he realized that no one had asked. You know, he's not a big monk. He's not close to the Panchen Lama. He was just some guy out in a retreat cabin. But then he suddenly realized that nobody back at the monastery had asked for the transmission. Okay? Signe di chigyen shuma tupane. Jay juken shen gome doktre kine. Then he thought, oh, this will be a great loss if no one asks for the oral transmission. So he packed up all his stuff. Yeah, you could just see like Will Duncan or somebody, you know, packing up. Oh, God, they forgot to ask for the transmission, you know. And he's like packing up all his stuff. And he rushes off to Tashi Thumbo Monastery, which is where the Panchen Lamas were the seat of the Panchen Lamas. Dunya Gyune, Tharap Sumbum Chi Dan Kepudu, Nyurlam Di Tishi Nanga Shubha. So he met with the Dunya. Dunya is like, I was a Dunya. I was Rinpoche's Dunya. Dunya means, technically it means the, what do you call it? Chamberlain? Lord Chamberlain. Is that right? The guy who takes care of the... Not a chambermaid. You look it up in a dictionary. Chamberlain means like the main servant of a big person and takes care of the house and buys the groceries. But the chamberlain also decides who gets to see the Lama. Okay? It's a very high position in Sarah May. It's like the third highest position in the monastery or something for the time that person is abbot. So if they have a naughty chamberlain, the whole monastery suffers, okay? Okay, anyway. Gyune Tharap Sumbumchi. Then he said, at best, I would appreciate if you would grant me permission to meet the Lama and hear from him the oral transmission of all his works. Okay, it's like 20 volumes or something, which is not weird in Tibet. It's kind of normal to say, can I have a transmission of everything you ever wrote? And then the Lama sits down and starts to read his books from the beginning to the end out loud. And then that transmission continues. There are still transmissions of the Kangyur and Tengyur. Okay? So people sit down for 3 months and read the Tengyur out loud to their students, and then they pass on the oral blessing of the lineage. If he doesn't have time for that, could I at least have the Lamrim? Because nobody thought to ask him, okay? Go Shupa, Komba Dakyang, but he was just a Dakyang. We said last night, right? Daba Dakyang. Say Daba? Dakyang. Da means a fence, okay? Nowadays in colloquial, it's Ra. But it means an inmate of an enclosure. That came to be the word for monk. They don't say gelong or anything. They say drava. A person who lives in a walled monastery. Okay, drava dakyan. But he was just a drava dakyan, simple monk. And shugyu chewa, and the thing he was asking for was rather major. Chenmi sewa, and the lama's eyes were not very good. Then Dernier, the chamberlain, was, Hale, was amazed that this, bum monk would want to bother the High Lama with such a request. Gyurshe Mabudang, then he was like, he's kind of busy today and next week. He made the chamberlain's excuses for the lama. Why the lama couldn't meet somebody, okay? Lar Logne Pip, so he went back to his retreat cabin. Yan took him masapa, but then he was sitting there and he couldn't stand it. He thought, I gotta try again, And he packed up his stuff, came back to Toshin Thumbo, asked again. This happened three times. Three seems to be the magic number, okay? Then the junior wouldn't accept the request. Then the monk got a little hot, okay? The guy, the Will Duncan guy. I'm not asking you for teaching. I'm asking the Lama for teaching. At least you could ask him. Okay, just ask him. I'm not asking you for teaching. I'm asking him. Just convey my request. Okay. Then the chamberlain got mad. Then he said, okay, all right, I'll go ask him. You'll see what will happen, And he went to the pension lama and he said, I was this crazy monk. And he says, nobody asked you for the transmission. And he says, let him in right now. Okay, let him in right now. Then suddenly his eyes got better. And he gave the whole transmission of everything. Okay. My lama, meaning Jambal Hundu, Pabokan Pajay's Lama, he said he used to tell this story over and over. Like he never got tired of telling this story. Okay? Winkyan Rangre Gyupar Loma, Losan Namgyal Yonsu Drapa, Yong Draksu Mashu. But somehow, that single old crazy Lama got left out of the traditional list of people in the lineage. Okay? Rangre Gyupa Jenga Wan Jambane Ringin Jorchu Kelsam Jingyendu Sawatayan. Then he says, if you want to know the complete lineage for this Panchen Lama's Lamrim, you can refer to Jorchu Kelsam Jingyen. Okay, we should do that someday. Okay, the Jorchu. I mean, maybe after the Lamrim. Okay, it's a very beautiful practice. Ken Rinpoche taught us that first, before any tantra. And Jorchu means those steps that we did before the meditation. Like, you got Laganin Lagama, right? It's the steps you do before the meditation. But it's really long, and it's really beautiful. So that's where you might offer the bathing house or something like that. Like, people bathe Krishna, right, all the time, and stuff like that. It's fun. Actually, he'll go through the Jorchu when we start the text. He'll go through it pretty detailed, okay? But it's called Kelsang Jingyen, okay? So Kelsang means those who have those who have good fortune. And then Jingyen means a necklace. Okay? Why are they called a necklace? Because you recite it, and it's beautiful, okay? It's in your throat, okay? Throat chakra. So if you want to see the whole lineage, check the end of that Jorchu text, okay? Daidagni Zepapo Chewa Ragdu Tsam Shupa Yinshing. I have completed the transmission of the greatness of the teacher, the greatness of the sources of what you're going to study. then technically we should go over the Ken Rinpoche a little bit, right? Hot chocolate. So I guess Trichang Rinpoche was born in 1901, second Lama from the left. Born in 1901. Then you know his story because you know this Lama Rim, okay? He was an incarnated Lama. He was already a tuku. He was already recognized as a... Trichang means holder of the throne. So he was already very... He was born famous, you know? And then he could have relaxed his whole life. He was wealthy. They had a big house, from Ganden Monastery. And he could have just relaxed his whole life. But then he became a disciple of Pobong Khorpache. And then at the age of 20, he entered this teaching. And then his life changed, right? And rather than becoming sort of a spoiled... The incarnated lamas get a little spoiled, you know? Like you're 6 years old and you go to your chamberlain, your junior, and you say, I want candy, you know? And they're like, Lama, not good to have candy. I'm Lama. You are my student, you know? I want candy. And then they, you know, they get cavities and stuff like that. But he broke out of that mold, and then he spent much of his life preparing this Lama Rim for you. And again, it's probably the most beautiful book ever written in Tibet, maybe. It's that rare combination of Shakespearean beauty in the composition, and the meaning is the highest meaning of all. So he's got that both. He's got both. He was selected as one of the two tutors of the present Dalai Lama. So there's Kyabje Ling Rinpoche and Kyabje Tijan Rinpoche. Junior and senior doesn't really mean much. I never figured out why they call them junior and senior. I don't think there's any name in Tibetan for them. They're just both called Yongzin. And Yongzin means tutor. And then it was a very hard time in Tibet. 1951. Basically, there was a huge war in China that went on for many decades. First, it was the imperial forces against the Sun Yat-sen's forces, and then the democratic forces. And then it turned into a fight between the communists and the nationalists. And the nationalists ran away to Taiwan with all the gold of the country, and that's another story. And then the communists took power. Then suddenly there's World War II, Japanese attack. They kill 1 million Chinese people in Nanking in a couple of weeks. They rape every woman in the city. So then there's this big war with Japan. And then Japan is ousted, and then the communists go back to fighting with the nationalists. And they basically had many years of decades of war. And then at the end of that process, the communists won. And then suddenly you have, I think, three major armies don't have anything to do. And so Mao Zedong was nervous, and he sent them to Tibet. He said, let's take Tibet, you know. And to keep them out of trouble. So then they started encroaching on Tibet, 1951, first casualties, first people were killed. And then it took 8 years to cross the country, and 1959, March 10th, then Tibet was lost. And the Dalai Lama, there was a rumor that the Dalai Lama was going to be kidnapped and killed. He was invited to a theatrical performance on March 9th or something like that. And by the local Chinese general. So then there was a lot of fear that he might be murdered. So the population of Lhasa went out of the city and surrounded his residence. Like, I don't know, 50,000 people. Then they just bombed them. So they gave up their lives. And Then during the bombing, and the, he dressed up as a, he took off his robes, and dressed up as a peasant, you know, and then escaped. So they had a small party, and then that's a whole adventure story. They had a small horse party on horses, and weird sandstorms came, and three armies couldn't catch them, and they got out. And then Tejar Rinpoche came out with him. So it was a very hard time because these are not politicians. They don't know anything. They don't have a... They have flintlocks in the basement of the Potala. Somebody's down looking for flintlocks, you know. And they put them on, what do you call it? Gazelle horns? Flintlocks. You take two gazelle horns and you put your flintlock on it. You got to set up one horn, and you got to set up the other horn. Then you like pull it, and you put iron ball in the front, and you pull back the thing, and then you go poof. And you know, and it was like a joke, you know. So then it was very stressful, very difficult times. And then they came out, and they were just refugees. And so Tejar Rinpoche had to live as a refugee, you know. And then slowly they had the courage to rebuild their monasteries, right? So for Sarah, where? Sarah had close to 10,000 monks. 100 made it out. 100 survived. So he had a very hard life, right? And then he passed away in 1981. Ken Rinpoche was his close disciple, and I don't know if I can tell so much. Basically, he lived in the refugee camps. He finished his Geshe in Tibet, I think 1954 or 55. And then he finished his tantric studies in 1959, and he was to become the head of the tantric, one of the leaders of the tantric college, which means he would be next in line for the throne of Tsongkhapa. He said, I was next in line for the throne of Tsongkhapa. I was in my bathroom, you know, like washing, and I was drying my face, and the first bomb came down on the monastery, you know. And then he was like, he said, I just turned around and ran, you know, and he ran to this mountain, you know, and then he looked around and he said, okay, everybody's like, we got to go to India, we got to try to make it to India, you know, and they all like said, okay, what do you got? You got any money? You got any food? And he's like, I got a towel. And they walked over the Himalayas, quite close to Mount Everest, okay, barefoot, I mean, but their shoes fell apart within a week, you know. And most people died. So he made it. His eyes were always bad. He was blinded by the snow. Then His Holiness asked him to write textbooks for the... He asked him to organize schools for the refugee children. A lot of orphans, mostly orphans. So he spent 12 years writing textbooks. And he was the principal of the school, I think in Missouri. And then he taught a whole generation of Tibetans. There's a whole generation of Tibetan young people who are now in their, 50s, who are the cream of Tibetan society, and they're all his students. And what, you know, it's very beautiful. He was invited to America. His Holiness sent him to America to help teach here. And then he taught for... he taught for 32 years without taking money. He taught every day. And anyway, that's all I can do. Anyway, you're getting the lineage from that, okay? La Lob Tsongma, Dawa Mepa, Gebachena, Lama Yongzhen Rinpoche, Sungi Lagyu Namdar, Budin Yishupatar, Chegoche. So Pabongku Rinpoche's teacher used to tell him, you know, if you give the Lam Rim and you really have some time, like, I don't know what, 30 years? you should read Yongzhen Yeshe Gyaltsen's biography. So somebody wrote a biography of all the Lamas of the Lam Rim, and it's very, very beautiful. And parts of it have been translated. I don't think the whole thing is done. But it's really, really sexy and beautiful, and it's well written, and somebody should translate the whole thing. So he said, we couldn't go through that two-volume biography today, but okay, this is beautiful. They don't say by a scripture in Tibetan. You're not allowed to say nyo. You don't say pecha nyo. I need to buy a book. You have to ransom it. It's called, it says, pei lu. Lu means to ransom. You know, I'll give you $30 if you'll release the book to me. You see, I mean, like that. They don't conceptualize it as purchasing. It's like releasing the power of a thing. Okay? It's a nice word. Gyundu Lakte, you should take it home, you should read it. Namtar Rere Juktuang. Then at the way, I don't know what's wrong today. At the end of each Lama's biography, you should recite the following verse, okay? He puts a beautiful verse. This is a very famous verse, okay? We have to say it every 2 weeks. What do you call it? At Sojong, okay? Let's do it together. You ready? Okay. Deshin Shepa. Keku, Chinda, Wadang, Kordang, Kutse, Sedang, Shinkamdang, Keki, Sencho, Sambo, Chindawar, Denda, Konar, Daso, Gyuashok. Oh Lama, may I come to have an angel's body like yours. May I be surrounded by beautiful disciples as yours. May I live as you live. And may I come to a paradise like yours. May I have an enlightened angel's body like yours, and may I be nothing else than that. Something like that, okay?
Where?
Okay, we finished. All right. Then next time we go into, we start the Lam Rim, okay? As if that were not. Okay. I have a few concluding remarks, and then I give it over to Rebecca.
All the people help and stuff, right? Yeah, you maybe start a list. Yeah, I think it's better now. I'll stall for a while.
So there are a lot of us. I don't know. We have periods in our life. Sometimes they are months long. Sometimes they are hours long. Sometimes they are many years, decades long, when we feel like we don't have energy. And we don't have enough energy to do the things we want. And it's especially discouraging if you've had energy before. You know, if you go from a state of having energy and then suddenly you lose that energy. My mother, stepmother called me. She's 86 or something. And she's like, oh, Mike, I had to cancel my trips for next month, you know. She's a travel agent. She still drags people around the world. You know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, why? And she said, I don't know. I just don't feel the energy like I used to. You know, I'm like, finally. You know, and she's, we all have this thing. And then it's very frustrating. You want to do things. You want to get things done. You can't do your projects. You can't get things done. And it's very frustrating. So can it be reversed? Yes. Why? Because it's coming from you, right? It's like the pen. So your lack of energy is coming from you, which just means you need to plant the seeds, and then you would just have limitless energy, okay? Amitayus, okay? And so it's good to learn. I'm going to repeat four practices that we have learned to plant the seeds. In order that the food practice works, and the flush practice works, and the alignment practice works, and the time management works, okay? None of those work by themselves, right? They are empty shells until they are given their power. I like to think of them as staplers without staples. Like they look good, they cost money, and they don't do anything. Okay, you got to load them. So those practices will work for you, all of them. And I'm going to do them too. And the yoga, right? It will work for you, but you got to load it. Okay, you got to put the staples in. So I see that we did four practices in this class to make those practices work. Okay, the first was trying to visualize the life energy inside of us, right? Like tree sap of liquid glass, and offering it to other people. Okay. The second was, I think, probably the most important, which is to ask your teacher for life. Okay, and then practice watching as the life comes into you from them. I particularly enjoy sitting on top of the atmosphere with my teacher. Actually, we're usually standing, but I see which feels more comfortable. I like to have the bottom of my feet on the atmosphere. Okay? Then looking down and taking care of everybody. And not just humans, but other creatures. Okay? I think the meditation on the present moment is one of the most important things you can do to preserve your energy and not have it leak out. Okay? Maybe half of your energy, maybe as you get older, one of the main reasons you lose energy is that your worries increase, your responsibilities increase, you have more problems to think about, now you have kids to think about, college tuitions to think about, stuff you didn't have to think about earlier. The exercise of expectation and worry, that dual exercise, expectations and worry, drains your energy, totally drains your energy. Okay, so if you can learn to bring your mind as often as possible to the present moment, then you'll be okay. I was at the fire. It was 6.5 hours sitting there. It was hot. And I was tired. You know, I'm still tired from Eastern Europe or Paris or Argentina, I don't remember which one. And then I thought, let me just be here, you know. I thought, let's see what happens, you know. I'll just be here. I'll just enjoy what's here, you know. I won't think about my bed, and I won't think about, you know, Bulgaria, and I'll just be here and see how it works. And it was beautiful, and I didn't feel tired at all. The whole time I didn't feel tired. So I think maybe try that. When you feel tired, try to be in the present moment. Maybe the reason you're losing energy is that you're not living in the present moment, okay? Where does that put planning? Do it in the present moment. But we'll talk about that. The present moment meditation is criticized by the first Panchen Lama. He says, no content, okay? It's just a tool. It's just a tool, okay? Staying in the present moment is very relaxing. It's very, what do you call it? For me, I feel relief to be in the present moment, to not have to worry about yesterday, to have someone give me permission not to think about yesterday or next week. I feel this, I always get this wave of relief. When they say, okay, are the two walls up? Yes. Okay, now be here, surrender into the moment. And I'm like, you know, oh, this is nice. Just to be here is nice. I don't have to think about the homeworks for the next class or, you know, the money that we owe the retreat, three-year retreat, and, you know, the debt, you know. But anyway, so I can just be here in the present moment. So that's a relief. But in and of itself, it's not a... There's no content. It's just a mode. It's a way of feeling. And it by itself, it doesn't have great karmic implications. Okay, you have to give life to other people. You can't just park in the present moment, because then one day that present moment will become the day of your death. You know, and then there's no meaning to it. So surrender to the present moment, and then go to the meditation on either receiving life or giving life. Okay? Last thing. I think, and I'm just repeating, the process of making decisions or facing decisions in your life drains your energy totally. You know what I mean? If you look at why you're tired at any given time, it's very often that you're faced with choices and you feel overwhelmed by them. You know, like, or you feel like you can't make a decision. Like, should I do this or should I do that? You know, and your mind, under the influence of your two side channels, constantly presents yourself with decisions, and they are unnecessary. Okay, the hours and days and years of your life expended worrying about what to do are and always have been completely unnecessary. No functional use to them. There are no benefit. They have no result. They don't do anything. It's like as if you came to me and you said, I'm really tired, Geshe-la, and I say, why? And you say, you know, I have to get up at 2 a.m. every morning. And I say, why? And they say, I have to go flush the toilet. You know, I'm like, why? And you say, I actually have to flush it every minute from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. You know, and I'm like, do you have some, like, medical problem? And they're like, no, I have to flush the toilet every minute from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. And I'm like, and you feel tired? And they said, yeah, I feel really tired. And I'm, no, you laugh, but your life is that. I'm trying to tell you your life is that. All those decisions you're trying to make, all the wrinkles on your face, all the times you can't go to bed, you know? And then I say, why are you flushing the toilet from 2 a.m.? I don't know, you know? But I sure it makes me tired. You know, can you give me a meditation or something? You know, and I'm like, yeah, why don't you stop flushing the toilet? You know, so it doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any function. It's just a waste. Okay? There's no purpose. It doesn't work. Okay? It's like just get up at 2 a.m. and flush the toilet for 4 hours every morning, you know, and then you feel tired, you know. Of course you feel tired. Just plant seeds and relax. Just plant seeds and relax. All crises in your life, all challenges in your life, all problems in your life, all problem people in your life, which is the main kind of problem, right? Is people. Then whatever you don't like about them, just stop doing it yourself to other people. And that plants a seed. Whatever you want in your boyfriend, start doing it to somebody at work, except for the kisses and other stuff. Somebody said, I was in Oslo, somebody said, Geshe-la, what's the karmic seed for kuss? And I said, excuse me? He said, kuss. I said, I thought he said kids, you know, and I was like, excuse me? And he said, kisses, how can I get more kisses, you know? He said, should I go to the Grand Hotel in Oslo and kiss everybody? You know, and I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. Just be friendly to everybody, you know, be more friendly to everybody. Then your husband will be more affectionate. You see what I mean? So whatever you want, just do it for other people. Plant the seed and then relax, you know. Next thing you'll be coming to me and complaining that he's too passionate, you know. That's my life every other year. You know, plant the seed and relax. Just plant the seed and relax. All that worry is, try to find the truth of that. Okay? Next time you're worrying, just try to think, what seed should I plant? If you think about a single other person's needs for 30 seconds, the worry will break. The whole worry about your life will break, you know? And you cannot resolve the worry until you help somebody else. It's not possible. The things you want can only come from other people. You can't get anything by worrying. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work. The only way to get anything is to do it for other people. And luckily, seeds grow. So you only have to be a little nice to other people. And then your husband will be very passionate. Because the seed for the pine tree is 0.5 gram and the pine tree is 200 tons. Okay? And that's the way it is. Which is good luck. Okay? You just have to be a little nice to somebody and then be very whatever. Okay. Please remember, so that to me, that's the real energy saver. Stop worrying. Stop making decisions. Stop struggling. Do something for others that you want to get yourself. And then your whole life is just relaxed, okay? During the time that it takes a watermelon to come up out of the ground, you don't have to do much. You just do some little maintenance, right? You put some bird poop on it sometimes or something. And then you just relax, and the thing comes up, and then you eat it. And then you spit the other seeds out, and you plant them, and then you relax again, okay? You do a, what do you call it? Reinvest your seeds. All right. Again, I'd really like to encourage you to teach classes together, okay? Try to hook up with somebody else. You still have another meal, I think, right? One more meal? So, you know, wander around the cafeteria looking aimless, and maybe somebody will offer to take you to Lake Tahoe. Okay? I want you to hook up with one other person in a romantic location and teach this class today together. You might want to start with the first Lamrim class, which is the meditation poster. And that's very sexy for bringing people in. You know, you roll out this big poster. If you don't know about it, you can check it online, right? All of these courses will be online. You can review from the homework masters. They are, what do you call it? They are actually meant as a class notes. So if you just study the homework masters before you teach each class, then those are the important points that you shouldn't miss. You may not have 10 days to give this course. You may have to give it in 2 days. You are welcome to chop out whatever attracts you. Okay? You're welcome to rewrite it. You can have the Word files. We'll give you the Word files for the homeworks or whatever. You can reduce it to a 2-day course or a 1-day course or a half of a yoga class course, okay? And you're welcome to steal everything, okay? And I don't care. There's no copyright on 20,000 pages of translations that we've done so far. You're welcome to steal it. Just don't corrupt it, okay? That's all I care about. You know, don't, like, sprinkle it with weird stuff. You know, try to stick to the essence of it, okay? Which doesn't mean you can't present it in your own way, okay? I would like to ask this. I haven't mentioned this yet, and I'm just inventing it, but I thought I would like it in 3 weeks if the discussion group leaders could send an email to the people in their discussion group with a questionnaire that says, how are you doing? How's your energy? Did your energy increase? You know? But that'll be the first half. The second half of the questionnaire will be, did you do what they asked you to do? And then let's compare. You know, like this person did 80% of what they were asked to do, as far as food and yoga and flushes and time management. Like, how well did you do what we taught you? And it's not going to be like a, what do you call it, a guilt trip. It's just like we're curious. We need metrics, okay? We went to British Airways. They asked us to solve their strike, you know, right? And then the guy says, well, do you have metrics? You know, and I said, could you tell me what metrics are, and I'll tell you whether we have them or not, you know? And then he's like, you know, do you have any proof that this stuff works? And I thought it would be interesting. If you can we do that? Like, design a questionnaire. We'll send it out to you. It'll say, did your energy increase? Do you feel more energy? You know? And then the second part will be, did you do what we asked you to do to increase your energy? Because if you didn't, then it, okay? Maybe some people won't do anything and they'll get more energy. Okay. So in like 2 or 3 weeks, okay? Okay. Two more things I have to announce, and then it's Becky. Lama Marut and Lama Cindy gave me a beautiful book. It's a hand-bound book. It has, each page has a photo of one of their students, and then a description of how that student went through the 18 courses, the ACI courses, and then how they finished their final exam. So we have this final exam that I invented in 1998 or something, called a Marok, which means a helper of all mother beings. And it was supposed to be a Western Geshe. And then when you finish the 18 courses, then I think we chose 100 questions. And you know that the exam is going to be from those 100 questions. These are the most important 100 questions of all of spiritual path. I don't remember. We put them in a box, and then people chose a question, and then they debated the person, and then they passed their Marok. So he and Cindy have been very regular about doing Maroks, and I haven't done a single one since 1998, I think. Then I was thinking, I read the book, and it was very beautiful, and the people's experiences were very beautiful. So he's very careful not to let people teach until they finish their 18 courses, you see. So I think it's a beautiful custom, and I would like to continue it, say, in New York, at the New York Center, maybe twice a year. Where's Nancy Karen? You know, like, maybe twice a year have a Marok exam. Hector, right? Where's Hector? Yeah, like, organize that kind of thing, like, twice a year, that people from around the country who are not taking Marok, like with Lama Marut, or who other people who finish the courses, that they could have a final exam. Maybe one in L.A., Rosa could take care of that, and then maybe twice a year, like that. So then you could, I feel more comfortable if you finish the 18 courses and then start teaching, okay? I want you to teach this course right away, but I would like you to make progress through the other 18, okay? So I'm fine to have you teach, and I want to have you teach, especially I want people to come on the DCI tours and teach, but I want to see progress towards finishing your Marok, okay? Because then you're a really qualified teacher. In the meantime, there's a shortage of doctors. I'm not going to refuse somebody who knows how to give artificial respiration. But later, I'd like you to know how to do heart surgery. See what I mean? So you got to keep progressing through that. I don't care what course you think you went to. I don't care what course you thought you heard. I don't care what homework you might have done. Whatever Sheree tells me, she's the registrar. She tells me, I got the homeworks, they were graded, this person passed, that's all I care about, okay? I can't remember 9,000 people, which classes they might have come to, okay? I just need to ask her, what do you have on record? And if she has bad records, you fight with her, okay? Probably it's easier knowing her if you just redo them. Okay. Knowledge base, I'm supposed to tell you about. There's a project by one of our teachers at Diamond Mountain, Lama Ora. So I don't know, I met her when she was how old? I don't know, 19, 18? But she's been to following, she got some idea to record everything since the age of 18 or 19. Now she's, I don't know, 30-something. She has a beautiful baby. And she's still doing it. So she has 7,000 lectures online, 7,000 teachings online. And they're free. There's 20,000 pages of translations. There's homeworks, there's quizzes, there's final exams, there's 10 meditation modules, like whole meditation courses that you can take, like that. And there's a lot of video and et cetera, et cetera. There's many languages now. Like, there's a lot of Chinese materials. I think there's 40 or 50 classes in Chinese and Spanish, and now there's Bulgarian and Ukrainsky. So you're welcome to. I think there's, are there any more of these here? Are there more? They're in the Bicentennial Room. And
they're all
Okay, there are business cards. The database is free. You're welcome to go online. You're welcome to steal anything. You're welcome to take anything. I have students who wrote whole books. They just chopped pieces out of my stuff and wrote a whole book, and they're bestsellers, and I'm very happy. So go for it, okay? You have unlimited resources. They need a little money for, what do you call it, computers. If you'd like to get some money for computers, you're welcome. You don't have to. Okay. On the subject of money, yesterday I was too shy to ask you, but I overcame it. If you would like to, I'd like to set up a dollar a day. The way we paid off the Diamond Mountain land was that we did a dollar a day. Dollar a day means you give $1 a day from your spare change to paying off Diamond Mountain land. And we finished that. And we paid off, what do you call it? We're doing pretty good on the three-year retreat food. So now I can go on to other things. I would like to raise the money for this thing, because I think it will be a big thing in the world if America and Mexico can sort of become one country, and then China and that, somehow, okay? So that's my grand plan. So if you'd like to sign up for that, it's a dollar a day. It comes out of your credit card. You don't know anything. Your bill gets bigger and bigger. And no, you don't miss it and you don't feel it. I'm signed up for all these dollar a day scams, and I don't even know. They all just go, you know. And we take care of the money. We take good care of money. We're good with money, and we're careful with money. So we don't have any, what do you call it, scandals or money scandals or... We use it very responsibly and very well. So talk to... Who's doing that? Is that you? Who's doing that? I think Christine Walsh or Rob Haggerty. Okay, raise your hand. If you would be so kind, if you would consider signing up, you just give them your email, then they'll bug you for the rest of your life. And then you sign up online, and then it just comes out, and you don't notice it. And that's how we built Diamond Mountain. Many, many small people. No big grants. Just many, many, many small people. So, and then somehow it's more beautiful. Everybody is helping, you know? Okay, so try. I'm supposed to say there are classes in Glendale, the first course of ACI, which is the three principal paths that we talked about, is being held with Rebecca teaching on Mondays and Thursdays at 7:30. And that's also being live streamed on Ustream Dharma with Rebecca. So she'll have that info if you want to follow that. There's a Lady Niguma Yoga and Meditation Essentials on Tuesday with Nicole Vigna, 6:30 to 9:30. There's a Death Meditation with Jamie Alexander on Wednesday nights at 7. This is all in Glendale, which is part of Phoenix. Okay, it's West Phoenix, poor part of Phoenix. There's an AA meeting Monday nights, 5:30 to 6:30. And there's Diamond Cutter with Jigme, two weekends in September. Okay. Then last thing. Huh? So you can go to ACI Phoenix website and see all that stuff, hopefully. The next installment of this teaching, I'm trying to teach once a month in Phoenix, okay? I'm trying to do this four times a year. So two times a year we have a retreat of 10 days in Prescott. We'll work very hard with the camp. I like the camp. I don't like the bed bugs either. I don't like it when the pipes freeze. I don't like it when the beds are too small. We checked out like 100 camps. This is the best one. So probably we'll just work on this camp. You know what I mean? We'll work on helping them get their act together. So a lot of us have donated money, and you know, we even asked that we would expand this building for them if they could like buy mattresses, and like we're making deals with them. So I think it's a good place. I think we'll try to fix it up for the next. You know, we'll work on it. Apparently, they had some bugs in May or something. Some kid brought a bug, and they thought they were all gone. And I'm sorry for that. And I don't know.
But I still think it's the best place, and the staff is really great, and we'll work on those things. Okay. So two times a year, 10 days here. So the next one will be in 6 months. Two times a year, 10 days in Phoenix, doing just the text and yoga every morning and meditation every morning. And you're welcome to come to that. There's no charge for that, and there's no charge for this. What we charge you was for the beds and the food. And I'm grateful that somebody asked for money for me. And frankly, it's good. I use it. I give grants. I paid for these paintings, stuff like that. And I'm a little, what do you call, foundation. And it's useful to have grant money. So thank you for that. And I'll use it well. But mainly everything we do is free. And you don't have to ever, you never have to give anything, okay? Just what you feel like. And let's see, September 9th and 10th is the next monthly program in Phoenix that I'm going to teach. And we're going through a text by the first Panchen Lama called The Devil Debates an Angel. And it's really cute. And it's an argument inside of one person's mind between goodness and evil. Specifically between thinking your husband is yelling from his own side and thinking that your husband is yelling because of what you yelled last week. Those two attitudes duking it out in one person's mind, okay? And it's very, very, very beautiful. It'll be a spiritual classic. When we finish it, the translation, it will be like Shantideva, or it will be like, you know, what's that? The Imitation of Christ, or some. It's a classic. It'll be a classic. So that's going to take about a year of programs once a month. So you're welcome to come to that. The next one is 2 days. It's just two nights, September 9th and 10th, Friday and Saturday. Then we have a very cool yoga teacher from Phoenix, very popular young man named Anton Mackey. And he's going to teach a yoga class on Saturday afternoon. And then Saturday night, we're going to have a dance party. And there's a very famous Phoenix DJ called John Salisbury. And he's going to be the DJ. And then we're going to dance past midnight, which brings us to 9/11. Sorry? Yeah, it's the 10th anniversary of 9/11. So what we thought was we would charge for the, we're asked for a donation for the dance party, and then that would go to a charity called War Baby, who supports children in Afghanistan, orphans in Afghanistan. Okay, so we'll have a party and we'll celebrate the end of that war, hopefully, and try to give energy to the end of that war. I met an imam, a Muslim leader in Montreal. We gave talks at their mosque, and I invited him to Phoenix, and he said he would come, but I have to ask him if he could come on during that program. And he's very beautiful. There's actually two of them. And I'm hoping that they could give some short talks during the teachings, if they feel comfortable. I don't know if they'll feel comfortable. You know, I'll have to see. So we'll see.
There'll be flyers for this over on the table here. We only printed like 40, so only if you think you might be able to go, we'll be on the table here.
And the space was donated by Monte Lucia Resort. So we gave a Yoga Sutra teaching there like a year ago. And this is one of the most exclusive resorts in Phoenix. And then they really liked it. And they said, just come back. I think they're charging us $100 or something. Something weird. For $10,000 of space, they're charging us $100 or something. So it's a beautiful, beautiful Spanish chapel, traditional Spanish-American chapel. And it's just beautiful. So the dance party will be in there. And it's really, really beautiful space. Okay, Miss Guadalajara asked me to, Suzanne, our group in Guadalajara is very strong now, a very beautiful group, Tiffany and Alejandro and Suzanne, and they are organizing. This will be a level 2 DCI retreat. September 1st through the 4th, okay? And that retreat is it at Lake Chapala again? I don't know. Okay, different place. But it'll be level 2 DCI retreat. Level 2 DCI retreat is finding your purpose in life. It's how to find what you want to do with your life. So that retreat will be focused. It'll be a 3-day retreat focused on finding out what you want to do with your life. Or what is the thing you really wanted to do with your life that you haven't found yet? How to find the thing that you wanted to do with your life. Okay. So if you have issues with that, please come. It's like a 2-hour flight. You can think of it as, closer than Seattle or something. Okay? Forget the border and just... Okay? It's closer than Seattle or Chicago, like that. Okay? And it's a beautiful space. And Guadalajara is a beautiful city. Okay? All right. Do you want to read it? No? Okay. We bring people. You're welcome to come on a DCI tour. You can help with the meditations. You can help with the teachings. You can help with the yoga. We don't pay. We pay for as many people as we can, and then we tell the rest, if you want to come, please figure out how to get there, like hitchhike to Paris, or. And people do that. It's about 50-50. We hope that in the future we can pay for everybody's airfare, etc. But if you're interested in coming, you're always welcome to crash the. Beth is wincing. Where is she? But you're welcome to come, and I can we can accommodate you to help with the teaching and stuff like that. So, but you'll have, in many cases, you'll have to figure out where to sleep and stuff like that. Like Ukraine, that was a net loss of, I don't know, $20,000. And because we want to help the people there. So, but you're always welcome to come. All right, and if there's something on the schedule that attracts you, like I always wanted to teach in Guadalajara, then you could let Beth know. Okay, she's there. She's the CEO of Diamond Cutter Institute. Okay, very nice. I'd like to give her a hand. Yeah. And they're helping thousands and thousands of people. And she's the main energy behind it, okay? So talk to her if you'd like to come help. Even if you don't have training as a teacher and you just want to come and help out, let her know. You could run the bookstore or stuff like that. Cool stuff.
The schedule's 2 pages. We ran out of staples, so with the last 20 take both pages.
Schedule is 2 pages. We ran out of staples if the last 20 take both pages. Okay. Mercedes, I'm going to do it this way. There's a long explanation of more information about the kidney flush. If you have any concerns about possible problems with the kidney flush or liver flush, then please consult with Mercedes. She has communications from the author of the book that are relevant to any concerns. I think it's perfectly safe. I'm going to do one. And if you have any questions, then we have answers to your questions that we just got by email from the authors of the book, okay? So I would just do it this way. Yeah, okay. If you want, you could give Mercedes your email, and she could forward you the whole thing, okay? About any concerns you might have about doing a liver flush? I'm going to do a liver flush anyway. Okay, anything else?
Yeah,
Yeah. I know.
One by one.
We're going to go a little bit long so that yoga can be shorter.
Geshe Michael wanted me to do all the thank yous now, but I don't have the presence yet to give people. Anyway, later. Well, Geshe Michael, thank you. Please stay forever, and please teach us forever. Please stay, please stay, please stay, please stay, please stay. And just please teach us everything you know. Okay. I'm not prepared. We're all lost without you, so just please stay with us forever. Hi, Rob. Thanks. Rob got coerced into being my assistant, so he did an awesome job. And he's going to be me next retreat, so yay! We had like a good cop, bad cop thing going on. I was supposed to be the good cop, and he was supposed to be the bad cop, but then we traded, so. But my brother here, so. Andriana, thank you so much for everything. She took care of all the readings and the homeworks and helped me with my mental breakdowns. So that was my roommate, so thank you so much. And Anatole also, thank you for so much. And the tireless Mirashani, thank you. Mira did all the organizing of the yoga teachers and the yoga classes and ran endless errands and got Geshe Michael his food and is totally dependable and you can just count on her for anything and she's really nice and really pretty too. So. Oh, and Jarrett's really pretty also. He told me to say that. Okay. Miriam, our kitchen... Dakini, thank you so much. We have a very sensitive chef, and Miriam really was a lifesaver and did all the communications between me, who is not so diplomatic, and the chef, who needs a light touch. So thank you so much. You probably noticed the menu is very different than last time and that Miriam really took care of that, so thank you. And Jamie Schultz, who's not here, a lot of you know her from New York. She's a chef, and she worked on the menu with me. So give her a hug when you see her in New York, okay? And Naomi, tireless, inexhaustible, thank you so much for all your help. Also totally dependable and very pretty. Actually, all the work study are so pretty. I won't keep saying it. Jarrett, thank you so much. He did all the massage scheduling. I tried to do that and run the retreat last time, and it was a nightmare. So that was so helpful, and he could always be counted on to do anything we asked him to do. And he did all the sound, and you're just awesome. Thank you. Christina Kasica, where are you? Ran endless errands. And was the holder of the receipts, which anyone who's run an event knows is like so crucial. So thank you. And Christine Walsh will thank you also for that. Speaking of Christine Walsh, she's the ACI Phoenix treasurer and has an impossible job and was my sounding board for a lot of pre-retreat meltdowns. So thank you so much for that. Nick, our transportation boss, thank you for getting people here. Totally dependable, tireless, was at our house till 12:30 last night, helping us print things, and just, we should all want to be like Nick. So, thank you. Viet, where's Viet? Just always did whatever we asked him to do and ran a lot of errands, and thank you so much. I don't know if anyone else saw this happening at the Fire Puja, but Viet is like an incredible tree climber. It's like you should be a stuntman. He had to have been like five stories up. I don't know how you got up there, but he was hanging flags with her for Geshe Michael, and I saw this blonde person standing like this. And I was like, is he communing with the tree? What is he doing? Like, Beth Muehlhausen and her are like, what is going on over there? And then I see, like, this little person. I'm like, oh, my God. He's bracing in case Viet falls five stories from a tree. Oh, my God. Okay. That's amazing. Jeff Eddy, where are you? Thank you. Jeff always gets the loudest applause. You have that karma. So sweet and ran endless errands and so available to help and housed me and Gunner in Phoenix after the last retreat for a month while we were looking for a home. So thank you again. Okay. He is also the most honest person in the room. So.
Jeff and Christine Walsh and Jigme are doing a lot of teaching at the Eloy and Florence prison, which is just south of Tucson. And huge population. I think it's 8,000 inmates total. They got very popular, and the group is growing and growing, and they keep splitting off into new branches of the prison. And they need gas money. They just need gas money, okay? We're not paying anybody, but it's hard for them to put up all the expenses, like yoga mats and stuff like that. So it continues to get bigger and bigger. And they've been very noble. That's the kind of... I'd like to see projects start that way and people just struggle. He was working, you know, a really hard job to get the money, to get the gas, to go to teach in the prison. So if anybody would like to make a spontaneous grant to the prison work, I would say to Christine Walsh, okay? And it would be very helpful. They really do need gas money and stuff like that. Okay. All right.
Orit, where are you? Oh, hi. I was just looking right at you. Hi. Orit did the website, and that was so helpful because I don't know how to do those tricky computer things, and made the registration possible, and she put like 30 hours of work into it beforehand, so did a lot of work, and is always just so nice and sweet. Thank you. Oh, she was also one of the school nurses. Thank you. Orit was funny. I'm going to embarrass you. Orit was funny because, like, right before the retreat started, I was like, wait a minute. How many hours did you put into the website? She's like, you know, like 30 or 40. And I was like, well, you kind of did your work study assignment already. Like, you don't, like, have to do anything. She's like, no, but I want to do work study. She's like, please let me help you. She's, like, asking permission to help me. So I want to be more like you. So thank you for that lesson. Sierra, our maintenance lady, thank you so much. Yay! I'm really glad Sierra got that job and it was a girl. I think that's great. We're messing up those gender things. I think it's great. And Sierra also helped a lot with the organization at the beginning, and is still helping with organization. So thank you. I need help with those things. Thank you. Jigme, thank you. And Ami also did some recording. Thank you both for archiving this stuff for us and making it available for everyone forever. Thank you. Jigme also takes care of a lot of personal matters for Gishala, his finances, his taxes. she's tirelessly helping him and served during the last 3-year retreat, and I've learned so much about service from her. So you guys should watch her if you want to learn how to serve people. Thank you. Billy and Juliet, who just, I didn't know them, and they just sort of showed up at the last minute, and I was like, I don't know these people, I don't know, but they were so helpful, and just like these secret angels who just showed up at the last minute, and thank you guys for being just willing to do whatever we asked you to do. You're a huge help. Thank you, and I hope you'll come back. Juliet works for, like, what's it called? AmeriCorps, and, like, volunteers for, like, 5 cents an hour to teach kids in school, and a really awesome example of public service that we could all follow. Thank you. Yeah, it was funny. A few people showed up at the last minute in my inbox. I'm like, I can't come. I don't have any money. And I was like, ah! And so, I don't know. I just had this instinct about her that she had to come. So I hope you're going to stick around. Yeah. Oh, I'm getting there. She's there next. They are. You can even look. Mercedes and Ningbo for tirelessly taking care of Geshe Michael and keeping him healthy. I think people are jealous of the attendance a lot because they get to spend so much time with the Lama, but it's exhausting. And like, if you want to learn about guru devotion, you should watch those too. You could learn. Oh, sorry.
They really are amazing. I live with these guys, and they just go and they 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 come home and they're just sort of like, there's just like this stare, and Ningpo picks up his whistle, and you know, and Mercedes just makes trees, and they're just amazing, amazing, amazing guys. And anytime you can get a chance to hang out with them, or it's well worth it. You know, they're just really amazing people. So.
Yeah. Mercedes doesn't stop. I mean, it's inspirational. I don't know where her energy comes from, but no, it's me. The Flash, woo! But just the way they have totally surrendered their lives to Geshe Michael, and they're an incredible example for us. And keep them close in your hearts, and pray for them. Okay.
Right. Well, I didn't know that was going to happen. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want you guys to go home. This is so fun for me. Okay, all the yoga teachers, and please forgive me if I leave you out. I made a last-minute list. Mira, Jarrett, Ellen, Mike, Anatole, Darcy, Eve, Cecile, Jeff, Eddie, Anna, Naomi, Amy, Orit. And if I left you out, Ningbo, Mercy, Geshe Michael, Nicole, Anatole, Andriana, all the adjusters, thank you guys. They're amazing yoga teachers. None of them got paid. You know, I think if you went to some... I named Darcy. I said her, yeah. Darcy, again. None of them got paid. I think if you went to some other retreat, they would have charged you, like, thousands of dollars for what you got from these yoga classes. Mira knows these things. She says it's true. So thank you all so much. And thank you, Beth. Where's Beth? Hi. Mrs. DCI, hi. Thank you for teaching your time management class. And, yeah. And, you know, it was a sacrifice for Beth to come because she has two beautiful children. And it was just really cool that you came and taught us like that. And it was her birthday. She was probably away from her family for the first time on her birthday ever. So really, thank you so much. And Andriana, thank you for the alignment class, and thank you for being willing to split it into two so everybody could come. And Anatole, thank you for teaching people how to eat. I'm inspired to eat real meals and to stop thinking a donut is dinner. So thank you. No, it's interesting. I was just thinking about it. He really could have just saved a lot of lives. He could have just extended all of our lives like 30 years by teaching us how to eat. So thank you. Mercedes also could have just extended all of our lives by 30 years. Thank you for the kidney flush and the liver flush class. Goodness. Fire puja. You guys all just showed up and were like, oh, look at the pretty fire. But it was so much work. You have no idea. So Ritesh, Akasha, thank you so much. Yeah, I sent all the Sangha members info about that info about the fire puja, and Akasha was just like, I'm on it. We're on it. It's done. Don't worry about it. So that was so cool. Especially also thank you to Droma, who quietly put in so much work on the puja. Thank you so much. She's Ningbo's sister. I don't know if you guys know that. There's something going on in that family. So, yay. Jigme and Dreame, I believe, did all of the shopping for the grains beforehand. Huge job, especially in Phoenix. You try driving around in Phoenix all day. See how you feel afterwards. So thank you so much, you guys. And Mr. Alistair, thank you. You should all get a chance to know Alistair. He is quite lovely and writes the most beautiful emails and just has such a lovely sense of humor and has very quietly been supporting Gishala and his projects for a very long time and is just an awesome human being. You should all try to get to know him. Yay. And then Darcy, Rosa, Mark, Nancy, and all of the team leaders for the Fire Puja, thank you so much. Camp Mom, Amy, thank you for all of the medical help. And Trang and Michael Moore also, and also Arit. Thank you, guys. And the masseusers. I've decided that's a word now, the masseusers. Tahia, Nicole, Bob, and V. Thank you, guys. They worked really hard for you guys, so give them a big hug. And Nicole, especially on all the homeworks and the grading, thank you, thank you. No, I'm not done, you can't have it. this job that I have, it's a lot of work. But the work study and just everybody who helped out, I mean, you guys were just incredible, and it was such a cohesive group, and we all got along so beautifully, and everybody pulled their weight, and everybody worked so hard, and they, I don't know, in a way they sacrificed their retreat for you, but in a way, like, they're so damn smart, because the karma of serving these sorts of retreats, like, your meditation's going to be like, phew. So just thank you guys. I just don't even have the words to thank you. Like, flawless, seamless. Last year they told me I had to learn to delegate more, and I was like, but I'm a control freak. I don't think I can do that. But I like tried this experiment, and they were just amazing. Like, no one had to be asked twice to do something. Like, they just did it, and they served you guys so amazingly well. So thank you so much. And thank you all for coming, and I really appreciated the love notes and the suggestion box. So, and I really enjoyed getting to know all of you and meeting you, and I hope you're all going to come back.
In 1998, Ian and I were sitting on the steps of 6th Street, and this little girl walks up with these glasses, and she's like, Geshe Michael told me I'm supposed to help. And so I actually just pointed to Ian. I was like, and to watch her, what she's sort of turned into, you know, until now is just, she just, and especially when Geshe put her in charge the last retreat, just, you know, stepped up, and all the beautiful things she's been doing to help over the years is just inspiring. And, you know, I've had such a nice time working with you. And it's nice to, we're always close. So, I mean, it just, it was beautiful. And just Geshe-la was, these teachings were just extraordinary. You know, the whole, just, it's like falling in love, the whole teaching, it felt like, you know? And thanks for teaching us, and I hope you please keep teaching us.
Thank you to the graders and to Amy Lancaster for being the homework grading managing angel. And the discussion group leaders. Thank you, guys. Yay! And can all the graders stand up, just so we can thank you and give you a proper applause? Homework graders? Everybody! You didn't all stand up, so now I have to read your names. Okay. Amid, Chelsea, Michael Moore, Jennifer DiLorenzo, Tim, Ellen, Katie, and Adam. Thank you.
Amy Lancaster, she helped a lot.
I did that already. But thank you again, Amy Lancaster. Well, thank you three times. Thank you. Picture time. Our staff photographer. Oh, and by the way, I want to start a Facebook page for people who are coming to the retreats, and then we can all keep in touch that way. That'll be nice. If you have teachings, you can post them up. I'll start a group. And then I'm going to ask whoever took pictures. I know Chris took like, geez, you must have taken 2,000 pictures. 3,000, a lot of pictures. And David took a lot of pictures, and I believe Jenny took a lot of pictures. And I'm going to ask if we can get them up somewhere. Maybe Picasa, or I don't know if you guys know Flickr or some site, and then everybody can have access to them, if that's okay. Maybe we can talk about it before we all go home. Or I can email you. And I'll send you all the link, and we can all be friends on Facebook. Yay!